God so much. What a blessing to Agape. And I've been with Agape about 5 months as what's called the faith formation. We're 48 years old. Been serving the community in social services. And for the first time, we have a division of faith, if you will. You're going to hear more about Agape a little later. What's important about that piece of it is, I want you to hear this, and I pray that it blesses you. Agape, we do a lot of social services. We try to help people. I do want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, and we do a lot with mothers. You'll hear about that later. But if you can imagine, the government is also concerned about moms. So a lot of the resources that we get to help in some of our social services is from the government. But the government is real specific about the way they give out their resources. And remember, me, I've only been here 5 months. And I'll tell you, for the first 3 months, I was clueless to a lot of things in terms of nonprofit organizations and the church. I've been a pastor now in my own church for 13 years. We started a church 13 years ago, planted a church. I'm over what's called the Church Developers Network. Hundreds of churches and pastors, smaller churches, we get together and we share resources. Some people like the church. I love the church. I think God's answer to the world is a church. I really believe that with all my heart. I love the church. But what I found was there's a gap between the conversation between nonprofits and the church. As a matter of fact, you guys are ahead of the game. So I'm talking to friends I know. But when you go to the church world and the nonprofit world, quite honestly, not only is there miscommunication, a lot of times there's not a whole lot of trust. So all these churches that I oversee, if you will, I serve in the Church Developers Network, a lot of them don't know the language of nonprofit. So, as the government gives out these funds, if you will, this money to help unwed mothers or school programs that we do or whatever, they say to a nonprofit organization these words: you can help moms, you can help children, you can do those things that we've given you this money for. But one thing you cannot do, you cannot preach the gospel. You cannot tell them about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You're a lawyer. Is what I'm saying is true? So for 90 days, I'm trying to figure this thing out. I'm scratching my head. I finally figured it out. This is the first time I will have given this talk, and I thank you, Barry, so much, and Stephen, you guys, for allowing me to do it. I want to give you this talk, and at the end of it, I want you to understand some things that I now understand. I want to talk to the church now. Now, as I go out to talk to these hundreds of churches, I know the language now. As a matter of fact, I'm even creating something that's called nonprofit pastoral education, where we're going to teach the churches the language of this nonprofit world, because when the two of us start working together, Satan going to be mad. He's going to be real mad. And we are going to work together. You guys are already doing it. Let me give you a word first, though, about a mother who is in a tough situation. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4, if you will. Let me just read a little scripture, and then I just want to have a talk with you. I won't be long. 2 Kings, because, you know, sometimes you preachers get up here, we talk a long time. They've already given me a limit on the time. All right, so I'm going to get us out in time to get to, you know, Cracker Barrel or whatever, where we got to go and eat it. You with me? I know it's Mother's Day, so we're going to make sure we get out. I love Gary. Okay, here we go. We're in 2 Kings chapter 4, a few verses of scripture, verses 1 through 7. Let me read it, and then I just want to talk to you just for a little bit. The wife, are you with me? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slave. Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil. Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars." Everybody say, "Empty jars." "Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another jar. Bring me another jar." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Amen. I'm going to pass this to my son. Now I just want to talk with you just for a little bit. What do you have in your house? Here's a lady who's in dire straits. Her husband has died. Back in those days, if you owe people money, your creditors could come and take your children, make them slaves until you paid off your debt. Again, I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know, but back in those days, that's how it worked. So here it is. She's in dire straits. She's up against it. She has a whole lot of debt. Her husband has died. He was a man of God, revered the Lord. But now she's in a situation where she can't make ends meet. She can't pay her bills. She's a single mother. She's up against it. And she cries out to the prophet, cries out to the Lord. In some way, she's crying out. The best way she can, she's struggling, she's hurting. Are you with me? So she cries out, and I love this. A lot of times what we want to do is say, okay, when they cry out, "How can I help you? What can I do? Let me give you some money. Let me, you know what I'm saying? I got about 20 in my pocket. Let me hook you up." I'm just talking about the world that I'm in. When I go to these different environments, you see people hurting. Yeah, you want to help. You want to help. But what's the best way to help sometimes? And we're trying to figure that out. We're all working at that. We're all grappling with that. Yes, sometimes maybe it is to give them $20, if that's what you got. But in this situation, he didn't say, "Let me give you some money." He said to her, he asked her the question, "What do you have in your house?" And notice her first response. Her first response was nothing. And guys, when we're up against it, when we got depression, when we're hopeless, when we feel like there is no hope and we're struggling and we want to quit, sometimes we can't see anything. This lady was in a situation where she couldn't see anything. He said, "What do you have in your house?" The first thing she said was, "Nothing. I don't have anything." And then she said, "Except a little oil." All the folks that we deal with, we work in three areas. They're the most impoverished areas in the city. They're Fraser, Whitehaven, and Hickory Hill. The stats will tell you that those are impoverished areas. People are under the poverty line, and they're struggling. I'm telling you right now, every one of them got something in their house. They got something that they can build upon. If somehow we can help them figure that out. Just like this mom. She said, God's not going to put us where we ain't got, I don't believe that, where we ain't got nothing. Yeah, we got something. We're trying to help them see that something. Trying to help them get out of that hopelessness, that fear, that uncertainty. but just trying to help them see a little light at the end of the tunnel. Amen, just a little, because sometimes you can just see a little light at the end of the tunnel. You say, I can make it another day. I can make it another week. You get a little hope. That's what we're trying to do. So we're not looking for folks that are just looking for handouts. They're looking for a hand. And so in this situation, here it is. He says to her, what do you have in your house? She said, nothing. Then she said, except a little oil. I think that there are a couple of things that we want to draw out of this conversation. Here's a word that the Lord gave me for 2018 that I pray it blesses you. I'm going to do the best that I can with what I have right where I'm at. I'm going to do the best that I can with what I have right where I'm at. It's a simple word. It's not going to get anything that's going to make you shout and run around the room. But if we grab that word for ourselves and help others with it, it'll bless them tremendously. Because now I'm not looking at what you got. Say, oh boy, if I just had that over there, things would be better for me. No. I'm going to look at what I got in my house. I'm going to do the best that I can with what I have right where I'm at. I think there are about five things that we can draw from this widow. The first thing that we can draw for her, and also I believe for us, because I'm talking about this widow, but I'm also talking to somebody in here that you might be struggling right now. Oh, nobody knows it because we dress up real well. But some of us, if truth be told, we're ready to quit. Maybe it's quit a job. Maybe it's quit a marriage. Maybe it's quitting a friendship. Maybe it's quitting this church. I don't know. I hope that's not the case. But some of us, we're in some situations where we can't see that light at the end of the tunnel. And God is saying to you, what do you have in your house? The same thing he's telling his widow, he's telling us, what do you have in your house? Five thoughts I'd like to give you. The first one is, just like he told her, don't go it alone. Get others involved early and ask for help. Don't go it alone. I spent about 2 years over at Methodist Hospital learning how to be a chaplain in a program that's called Clinical Pastoral Education. The second year, I focused on the mental health side. And I can tell you on the mental health side, most of the folks that were in there, they were in there either for one of two reasons. One is non-compliance. They stopped taking their medication, and then they start to slip backwards. And two, they went into what's called isolation. They go into isolation. They withdraw. They wouldn't talk to people. They wouldn't reach out for help. They just, you know, they go inward. And when they went inward, those were the telltale signs. And I'm not saying anybody here is mentally ill, but what I'm saying is depression and those kinds of things, discouragement, they will take you to a place where you'll just want to go inward. You don't want to talk to nobody. You say, I can do it by myself. I can do it alone. I'll be okay. And God hasn't called us to do that. He's called us to be together in community, to help one another, not go it alone. Same thing the prophet told her. He told her, look at his words to her. He said, go around and ask, how many of your neighbors? All your neighbors for empty jars, and don't just ask for a few. Don't go it alone. But here's the second thing that I think that we all need to do, and the same thing that she needed to do is, then we got to shut the door behind us. It's time to focus. Don't go it alone. Get other people involved. But then it's time to focus. When I say focus, take away the distractions of the world. I remember, for me, I was playing chess and Scrabble on my phone. Anybody play games on your phones? And I love playing my chess and my Scrabble, Gary. But my wife got to the point where she said to me, You're playing that too much. And I said, oh, no. Hey, can I have a little, you know, space here? I do all these things, and it gives me a little release. So in January, I started Agape in December. In January, I decided to fast from my games on my phone. I would just stop them completely for 30 days, right? To see if this thing my wife was telling me was true. When I stopped my games on my phone in January, it was probably the most productive month I've had in years. I didn't know the time that I was spending on these games. But I did know the stress that I was feeling. I come on in December at Agape. I'm in this new world. I don't know the language. Nonprofit world. I'm trying to understand that. I still got my church. I'm still doing some other things. And all this stress is starting to come. So I'm playing these games trying to relieve the stress. Trying to go to a different world. It takes me out of this world into another world. Is anybody with me or is it just me? We're looking for some outlets. But when I fasted from it for 30 days, I found that I was so productive. I haven't played chess or Scrabble since then. Why? Because I had to close the doors. I had to focus. Many of us, you're in a situation, it's time for you to close the door. It's time for you to focus. Get rid of the distractions. My distraction was chess and Scrabble. Yours might be that phone where you're texting or emailing or playing a game, or yours might be watching TV. Yours might be whatever. Close the door. Number one, don't go it alone. Number two, close the door. He said, then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. But here's the third thing. Don't go it alone. Get others involved. Shut the door. Focus. But then it's time to actually do the work. He said to her, I love this, pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So now it was time for her to actually do the work that he told her to do. He told her to put the oil into the jars, to actually do the work. My daughter is getting a doctorate degree from Central Arkansas University in psychology. She only has 1 year left. You know, the last year you get to go to your, you know, what do they call it, where you're actually working? But clinical, right? Next year she'll be in Houston in her clinical. But now is the time where she was finishing her dissertation, right? So about 3 weeks before it's time to turn in her dissertation to this committee, right, she calls up crying. She says, Daddy, I'm about 20% done. About 20% done of her dissertation that she knew 3 years ago that was due. You with me? She knew this day one. But 3 weeks before it's due, she's literally calling up crying. She's tore up. Now, she's waiting for some compassion. I know, but Daddy didn't have it for her, so Mommy had to give her that. Mommy said, baby, it's going to be okay. Mommy told her to get on the prayer line. We have a prayer line that we do every morning, 365 days a year. Mommy said, get on the prayer line for the next 3 days. She got on the prayer line that first day, and she was feeling a little bit more encouraged. The second day, she got on, she was feeling even a little bit better, but she still was 20% done. You with me now? We're just talking. The third day, she gets on the prayer line again, but on the third day, I said, honey, now are you ready for Daddy? She said, yeah, Daddy, I'm ready. I said, baby girl, you got to go to work. It's time to go to work. First thing you need to do is don't go it alone. Get other people involved. The same professors that you think are against you, Those are the ones you need the most. They're trying to help you. They're trying to get the best out of you. You need to go back to them right now. The ones on the committee that's giving you the hardest time, go back to them right now. Get everything that you need from them. Tell them, ask them to tell you what you need to do in order to get this done. You got to get them involved. And then you got to, what? Shut the door. You got to get to work. Trying to focus. Shut the door. Shut the door. And then once you shut that, you got to get rid of all the distractions. Everything that distracts you. You got to get rid of it. And then you got to go to work. It's time to go to work. My daughter was getting ready to go to New York. This was on a Friday when I talked to her. She said, Daddy, should I cancel my trip to New York? She's getting ready to go to New York. I said, no, don't cancel your trip. You go to New York. You have a good time. But when you get back, you close that door. You go to work. My daughter got back. Not only did she get that dissertation done in 3 weeks, her professors were glowing, saying, wow. Why? She had to go to work. But not only that, the fourth thing that this lady had to do, she had to keep doing the work. Because a lot of folks will start the work, but then they'll get tired and weary and well-doing, and they'll stop working. Because remember what he told her? He said, pour oil into all the jars. Oh, it must be a good word. I said, when my phone goes off like that, in my church, we say, it must be a good word. He said, pour oil into, not some of the jars, all the jars. See, my daughter, she got to 50% done, then 75% done, then 80% done, then 90% done. When she got to 90% done, she went back for a pre-review before she got to this last committee meeting, and because she was done, and they struck it down. They told her some more statistics that she needed, and this and that. She was almost done. She's ready to quit again, but now she's 90% done. You can't just start the work. You got to keep doing the work. We can't get weary in well-doing. And I'm telling you, when it comes to social services, the work that we do at Agape, man, it is easy to get weary and well-doing because you're working with a bunch of hopeless people. People that, God help me with this, not as educated, not as privileged, not as wealthy. You with me? They're good people. God loves them. But it's hard to keep going into that environment day after day after day after day unless, I believe, you got a faith component. And that's what I hope that we're bringing to Agape in a mighty way, to cut down on some of the turnover that we're having, because it's hard to do this work. We're bringing more of the faith component. I believe that's what we need. So again, let me finish this message. Don't go it alone. Get others involved. Close the door. Shut the door. Focus. Work. Not only work, keep working. When things don't appear to be going well, be found faithful doing the last thing God told you to do. Some people, when they're ready to quit, they say, I want to hear another word from God. And I say, why would God give you a new word when you haven't done the old word? He told you to pour the oil into all the jars. Keep doing that. Be found faithful doing that. The last thing God told you to do. And then here's the last bullet. Finish and finish strong. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live off what is left. That's a beautiful thing. Because now he's taken her out of a tragic situation, a hopeless situation, and now he's basically, watch this, made her an entrepreneur. She's in business now for herself. She's making her own money. She's making a living for herself and her children. He said, pay off all your debt, and then you can live off the rest. At Agape, what we're trying to do, I asked this question, okay, now, what does all this have to do with us, right? How does Cordova Community Church and Agape help bless mothers? And not just mothers, but it's Mother's Day, so let's talk about mothers. Think about this family. What you don't see is a dad. You see mom, and I want to introduce you to Karen and Mike and Haley. This is a family. These are real people. This is Karen, the mom, Mike, the son, and Haley. They're out there in Fraser, and they're in a tough situation. Financially, they're in a tough situation. Educationally, because she's trying to figure some things out, and she can't make ends meet, and it's just a tough situation for her. So here it is. Here's some barriers that she faces over there. Domestic violence she's been involved in her history. She has low to almost no income. I'm talking about Karen and Mike and Haley. They have some transportation issues in the buses. They're not real friendly to them, helping them get into the jobs and situation. The mass transit system isn't as equipped to help them get to FedEx. Matter of fact, we're working on one program where FedEx is bringing buses, or not buses, but vans to them. It's one of the programs that we're working on. But employment is tough. Listen to what I'm about to say to you. Some of the people that we're trying to get employed are not employable. Right. So now we got to spend a year helping them to become employable before they can get employed. I'm not painting a bleak picture. I'm painting a picture that actually exists. Do I have a few more, 5 minutes maybe? Okay, well, let me give you a story this morning. Quick story. So here it is. I go to Walmart this morning, right? Real story. And when I go to Walmart, it's Mother's Day, you know, last minute flowers and that kind of thing. You with me? You understand. Busy. Right? But I get a bunch of stuff, and, you know, I want to cook for my wife. I like to cook. About 90% of the meals at our house, I cook. So I got to tell you the good news first about it, so you can say, well, he's pretty good. Because in a minute, you're going to say, I'm pretty sad. Okay? So now it's time to check out. And I go to check out, and there's nobody to check me out. So I'm looking around. They got the self-serve, but I got a lot of stuff. I want to serve myself. So I asked the lady that's standing there, I said, is there anyone that can check me out? She said, sure, that guy that's walking over there. And then I said, well, do you mind calling him and letting him know? She said, no, you can just walk over there and tell him. I said, well, can you walk over there and tell him for me that I'm ready to check out? And guess what she says? I don't work at Walmart. So now I'm a little embarrassed. Just a little bit, you understand? But I recaptured myself quickly. I said, hey, well, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. So I walk over and ask the guy if he wouldn't mind checking me out. So when I come back, this is what she says. She says, you are, I don't know her now. She said, you are spoiled. She said, you're spoiled. So I got to process this, you understand? I'm like, I said, yeah, I guess I kind of am. She said, yeah, you're just spoiled. And I said, well, you know, I'm 55 years young. In my day, we just didn't have all this. You know, people just did that. And I didn't have to do all this. She said, well, times have changed. Man, I don't know her. So we're just having a conversation. And I thought about it for a second. And then she said these words to me. Times have changed. And I'm in here slaving, trying to make a dollar. They grabbed me. And it hit me that she's probably a single mother, trying her best to make ends meet. Here I come with my privileged self, talking about me, not y'all. I'm privileged. I don't even want to check out my own groceries. It made me think. And more than anything, I want us to just think. Think about what I'm about to tell you, and I'll be finished. That single mom, Agape, can help her. Let me show you how. FIT is Families in Transition. We provide housing and case management. We actually have somebody that's assigned to this family that connects all the dots, all the services that we can find for her, both with Agape and other services to be a blessing to her and her two children. STARS works with children in their schools, at the home, and in their community. So now we got what we call, let's call it a check and connect. We'll check them into the schools. We'll connect the dots in terms of making sure that they're academically doing what they're supposed to do. If they're not in school, we'll contact their parents to see why they're not in school. If there's an issue with them getting to school, we'll help figure that out. The rate of kids going to school in some areas is tad over 50%. They just don't go to school. How can you learn if you don't go to school? We help to make sure. In our schools, it's close to 90%. That's awesome. We're doing the work. And that's the thing that I am excited about at Agape. I told you I didn't understand the language, but I could see the services. I saw us doing the work. So that kept giving me hope to learn the language. We're doing this. But then there's also after-school programs where we're helping with literacy and those kinds of things. Teamwork. This mom, if she needs a job, we help her not only to get a job, but if she's not employable, we take that year to help her get employable. But I don't care what it is. If it's a GED, some of these guys got criminal records. Some of them don't even have a driver's license. They don't have any identification. We got to start with some basic things. We help with that. Therapists. A lot of those kids have come through some traumatic situations, even that mom. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the new buzzword now is ACEs. A-C-E-S, ACEs. It stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences, which says basically a lot of the reason that I do what I do and think the way I think and act the way I act is because I had some adverse child experience in my life. These guys that we serve, they got a lot of adverse childhood experiences. God help me with this. Give you an example of this. I got a spiritual son. He works at the Life Church now. He's a great guy, doing well. But he grew up in Fraser, right? So he loves to go back to Fraser to hang out with the folks that he knew. He took his little son with him. A father and a son back in the hood got into a fight. They was cussing each other and talking about killing each other and this and that and this and that. And then, quite honestly, they were relatives of this guy I'm telling you about, this father and this son who got to get in the fight. But now his little boy is watching all this, right? Now he knows to take his son and go and process that with him. Son, let's talk about what happened. How did you feel about that? Right? All these things, right? He said to me these words. He said to the folks that were fighting, if I tried to do that, they couldn't even imagine sitting down and processing that. They would have a fight and call the police. That's their answer. You know what I'm saying is true. That's their answer. Call the police. They don't know how to sit down and process things. Guys, we got therapists that are helping them to learn how to sit down and process things early, so some of these adverse childhood experiences won't go with them. I know it seems like I'm preaching, but I'm so excited about what we're doing. Let me show you how it all fits together. Here we are. I just showed you all the social services that, quite honestly, government, they're willing to pay for all that. They're not willing to pay for this, the faith component. And we're the piece that ties it all together. Because you can help somebody, you can give a person a fish. But unless you teach them how to fish, give them some transformational stuff. And that's what the gospel does. The gospel transforms. The Bible says, be yourself changed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And we're going to help them renew their mind. We're going to bring the faith piece, the gospel piece. And we need to partner with you and churches in that area to do that. Government ain't going to pay for that. No, sir. So I'm asking you to do two things today, and I've gotten permission from Pastor to do this. One, I have a sign-up sheet out here. Young people, please sign up. Older people, please sign up. What we're doing is sign up for what's called a volunteer certification training. It's going to be on June the 2nd for just 2 hours, and I'm going to buy you some brunch. They actually gave me a little budget. Not what I asked for, though, because we're still growing. Yeah, I asked for $6,900 between now and the end of September. That's when our year ends, and I got $4,000 in order to do this gospel work that we're doing. Because the money that you saw on those other charts, ain't none of that going to faith. None of it. So if you'll come out and volunteer to just go through a certification training, you say, what does that allow me to do? Well, if you finish that training, you say, hey, I see what's available. I don't want to do anything right now. I'll say, thank you, you're still certified. Because, see, when you're dealing with children, you have to be screened and certified to make sure. You know what I'm saying to you. So we have to do this. We have to certify. But now you're GAPA certified. You can go anywhere and serve children. But not only that, we'll give you opportunities like this. Somebody might say, Pastor Dale, I got 3 hours over the next 3 months. That's all I got is 3 hours. I'll find 1 3-hour opportunity for you to come and serve. Just one. Somebody will say to me, Pastor Dale, I got 1 hour a week that I can do this. I'm going to find you a one hour a week now opportunity. But I can't do that unless you're certified. Somebody said, Pastor Dale, I can't do it right now. I said, great. No problem. Whenever you're ready to do it. Because then somebody else is going to come and say, I did this and I enjoyed it. I helped. Somebody said, where is that in the scripture? Remember, she went to all of her neighbors and borrowed jars. And what I'm saying is, guys, we're the jars that she's borrowing. That's us. And I'm telling you, we're not really loaning to her. We're loaning to God. And I guarantee you, God's going to pay you back. I guarantee you. I'm asking us just to come and get certified. June the 2nd, on a Saturday, 2 hours. At the Agape office, you'll see where we are. You'll see where Pastor Dan gets to hang out. We'll certify you. But here's the second ask. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider giving to Agape's work specifically for the faith component of Agape's mission. You're already giving, and I thank you for that. God knows we do. But I'm going to tell you where that's going. That's going to fit right now. Families in transition, or it's probably going to the adoption side. Both worthy causes. But both of those causes, the government will pay for. They're not going to pay for the faith component. I'm asking you to be prayerful about in your missions giving, to give money to the faith component of Agape. Hopefully you've received me. Hopefully I haven't offended anyone. I get passionate about this. I love the work that I do. I do. I'm tickled every day I get up to go and serve these people. And also serve you as a church. So let me pray. Father, we stop to bless you and honor you in all that we say and do. God, we don't take this opportunity lightly or for granted. It's a plum-pleasing pleasure to do this. Your word will not return to you void. It will accomplish what you sent it to do. Pray, oh God, that you'll move on the hearts of all of my friends. We'll get a long list of people certified to do this kingdom-building work. It's in your son's name, Jesus' name, we pray. And those that agreed said amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.